Today I'm going to talk about the month of Elul. I'm trying to get us to the place so we recognize the times and the seasons of the Lord. Before I begin coming into an understanding of the Hebraic months, when I started learning this, I realized I was moving according to that rhythm anyway. I just didn't know what I was doing. Holy Spirit would just lead me into different seasons. And the reason we need to understand this is, as Westerners, we think timeline linear, straight line, and the Hebraic or Eastern mindset is cyclical, and it continues to move up and into greater and greater revelation. So if you can view this, every year you start out the year and you cycle around the months, one after another, and then you come back to the same month again, but you're up at another, should be up at another level of intimacy and relationship with the Lord. And every year of your journey, you should be on this continual movement into the heart of the Father. So as you come into the timing of the Lord and understanding the way God set the months up, you begin to see what He did month after month. There was always something that He did within the months that became a pattern that we can watch and enter into so that we're continually progressing. So the month of Elul, which we actually entered into like at 6 p.m. on Thursday night, we'll make it Friday morning, is Elul. And it's the month that's most commonly referred to as the king is in the field. Aren't you glad the king comes into the field? So I want to give us a little historical reference, because the first thing that we see happening here is Moses on Mount Sinai, but it wasn't his first trip. But for context, I want us to see the first two times he went up on Mount Sinai and then the third time. And prophetically, this is really important, because there are part of what we're doing on these assignments this weekend and through the next week tie into a word that Chuck Pierce gave to Dutch and therefore the company of us in 2019 about going to Mount Sinai in your place of covenant, which for our nation is Cape Henry. So Sinai is very important. Our place of covenant is very important. So historically, Mount Sinai, the first time Moses went up the mountain, he received the tablets that were the handiwork of God. I want you to grab this. God had fashioned the two tablets with His own hand. Not only did He write on them, He cut them out with His hand. And He gave them to Moses and was giving them the Torah, the Ten Commandments. But then all of a sudden, the children of Israel, Moses is gone for 40 days. They're getting all upset. Where did Moses go? Did he leave us to bring us out into the wilderness to die? We are an impatient people. And so God says to Moses, you need to go back down and take care of business. This is my vernacular, okay? Go down, because they've gone astray. They've moved away. They're not doing what I told them to do. I told them to wait, and they got impatient, and they are rebelling against me. They've seen the powers, the wonders, the miracles. They had seen the Red Sea split wide open. They had seen the water come out of a rock. They had received the manna. They had seen all these miracles. And yet, Moses is gone for 40 days, and they build a golden calf. And then they even lied about that. They said, oh, we just brought all of our stuff, it went into the fire, and it came out. We are prone to be impatient and to cover our actions with a lie. Right? Come on. So Moses goes back down, he throws down the tablets that were hewn by the very hand of God. I don't know about you, but when I read that this time, it really hit my heart. What a precious gift to have. And yet, can you imagine Moses' frustration with the children of Israel? I can. What do you mean you built an idol? What do you mean you're worshiping around a golden calf that reminds you of Egypt? Do you want to go back to Egypt? Because that's basically what they were saying. They would rather be back in Egypt worshiping around a god they could see than out in the wilderness following a god they can't see, even though they had the cloud by day and the fire by night. It still wasn't tangible. So Moses gets angry, and then he destroyed the calf. So this was Moses' first time up Mount Sinai. And after he does all that, he goes back up the mountain. So you think it was bad for me being gone 40 days? I'm going to go another 40. So he goes up the mountain and he spends this time in repentance, crying out that God would have mercy on the children of Israel. God, what were you going to let us just die out here and let the nations mock that our God led us out and destroyed us in the wilderness? You can hear the heart of a leader who, yeah, a few days before was pretty angry. But then reflecting upon the Lord and the assignment and the mantle, he stands in the gap as an intercessor and cries out for God's mercy. And then God said to Moses, go carve yourself 2 tablets of stone. In other words, I did it the last time, but this time you've got to go do it. See, sometimes God offers us something that he says, I'm just going to give it to you this time. But when we squander it, he says, next time, I'm still going to make sure you get it, but this time, you're going to have to do something. I don't know about you, but I've had some of those moments when if I had just said yes and received, rather than trying to do it my own way and think I have some idea that's better than his, how foolish is that? But Moses had to carve his own 2 tablets of stone, just like the first ones. But then God says this. See, he didn't leave it all to Moses. He said, then I will inscribe upon them the words that were on the first ones. See, Moses couldn't write those words. Those had to be written by the finger of God. Now, part of what I love about this story is God's mercy and God's grace. But also it's a foreshadowing of what God said in Ezekiel. And I think in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, that he would take our hearts of stone. Anybody else ever had a heart of stone? He would take it, he would turn it into a heart of flesh, and he would write upon our hearts his words. See, we sometimes have to just offer God our heart of stone and say, God, my heart is hard. I'm not feeling what I need to feel. I'm not responding to you the way I need to respond, but I'm here giving you my heart of stone. And God in his mercy gives us a heart of flesh and writes his words upon it. So it's not just external, it's now internal. Let's move on to the third time Moses goes to Mount Sinai. So he's pleaded with God for his mercy. God says, here, make yourself stones. I'll write on them again. He's telling him what he'll do. He didn't do it yet. Interesting, huh? Moses, I guess, had to have time to go carve out the stones. I'm just trying to put us in the story. But the third time Moses goes up, he actually receives the second set of tablets of stone with the law written upon it. And Moses remained for 40 days until the 10th of Tishri, which is Yom Kippur. During that time, he received God's wholehearted forgiveness and reconciliation for Israel. That is a key for us in this month. If we look back over our lives, we look where we've been, we look how we've responded to God, this is a time for us to take a look at how have we responded to the Lord over the last year? Have we responded in obedience and submission, in humility? Have we received what he wanted to give us, or have we been hardened? Have we wanted to go our own way? But in this month of Elul, God says, there's a window of opportunity once again. Come. Come. I love this because if we're really in a place of reflection during this month, as we prepare to enter into the new Hebraic year, take an assessment of your year. Don't be too hard on yourself, but be hard enough that you can deal with what you need to deal with. Look at where God's moved you. Rejoice over how God has worked with you, how you have responded. Take an assessment and say, God, I thank you for the grace you gave me to keep moving forward with you. You know, take a look at those moments when you had an opportunity to get really offended. Has anybody had any of those moments this year? I think in this nation, we've all had those moments, okay? We've had moments to get offended on a national scale, but we've had moments to get offended personally. We've had moments to get upset with people. We've had moments to say, well, I'll just do it myself. You know, like kind of like a 2 or 3 year old stomp our foot and do it my way. We do that. But God says, no, wait a minute. Here, we're going to go into this month, and I'm giving you an opportunity to enter into divine mercy and forgiveness. Elul is also a time of introspection and stock-taking. Because see, how can you receive forgiveness and mercy if you don't take a look at where you've been? It's a time to review your deeds and your spiritual progress over the past year and prepare for the days of awe, for Rosh Hashanah. The days of awe when you come under the scrutiny eyes of the Lord, where he searches, as it were, to and fro throughout your life to see where you are lined up with him and where you have gone astray. And you say, God, I've been doing an introspection. I've been doing taking stock of my life. And I can come before you now and say, God, as far as I know, my repentance is up to date. Is there anything else I need to deal with? What a better way to enter into the 10 days of awe than with fear and trembling because you haven't taken an assessment of your year. One of the early things that I learned with one of my first mentors was keep your repentance list short. You know, don't let your issues that you need to repent of build up. In fact, I just say to you every day, take a look. Is there something I need to adjust? Is there something I need to repent of? Is there somebody I need to ask forgiveness of? Is there something I need to realign with the Lord over? Because it's real easy in the hubbub of everyday life and the busyness and the stresses and everything else, it's easy for our thought patterns to all of a sudden twist over here. And God says, oh, wait, where are you? Boom, and come back. Make it quick, make it easy. Don't let it build up. It will keep you from building up this pile that we're prone to trip over. You know, you remember Achan and the pile under the rug? We don't want stuff buried under the rug. That cost Achan and his whole family everything. So keep the accounts short. So out of our introspection, Elul is a month of divine mercy and forgiveness. It's an opportune time, and this is a word that we may not know, teshuva, or returning to God. It's a time to return to the Lord. And some of us may be thinking, well, I haven't left. Well, we haven't left, but is there another measure of returning? Is there another measure of pressing in that we haven't seen before, that we haven't understood before, that we need to press in to know God even deeper than we've known before? I'm never satisfied. I know that sounds really bad, but I'm really not ever satisfied with how much of God I know today. I'm always knowing there's more. For throughout all eternity, we will never come to the fullness of knowing who He is. So every day, get up and say, God, I want to know You a little bit more today. More every day. This is a great month for prayer, for charity, for increased love for your fellow believers, and our quest of growing in maturity and our intimacy with the Lord. In the current season that we are in, which many are calling a war season, does it feel like a war season? Anybody else been feeling that? Just that press? It is absolutely necessary, and I would even say mandatory, that we increase in our maturity with the Lord. We have to be mature in the Lord. We can't be wishy-washy. We can't be pitching little fits because we're not getting something our own way. We have to be mature enough that when we hear God say, jump, we say, how high? That we're not trying to assess it by what we want to do. We're saying, God, if You're saying this, I may not get it. I may not understand it. But I trust You, so I'm going to go with You even when I don't understand it. See, it's a maturity, but that maturity actually is the fruit of intimacy. Without intimacy, you will never fully grow into maturity. Because how many people do you know or have known over the course of your life that know the Word of God and they can quote it, they can exegete it, they can preach it, they can teach it, they can do everything else, but they have no intimacy? And they really are not operating in a lot of maturity because it's just the letter of the law. See, intimacy will take us out of the letter of the law, move us into the spirit of the law, and cause us to be a people like the Lord is, full of grace and mercy. A people of truth, a people that move at the impulse of the Spirit, not being moved by our own ideas, our thoughts, our imaginations, our own flesh, going, well, yeah, but... Remember when Ann Tate was here back in, what, February? And she talked about the get rid of the yeah buts. When God says something, don't do the yeah but. Take off the excuses. If you're like not getting it, saying, God, don't do the yeah but. Go, okay, God, help me understand, because my heart is positioned to obey. But I need to know how. I need to know, what are You saying? How do I move with this? Let the maturity come, but it comes out of intimacy. It doesn't come out of head knowledge. It comes out of heart and spirit knowledge. So as I said earlier, Elul is known as the month when the king is in the field. So what in the world does that mean? I know the first time I heard that, I thought, what does it mean the king is in the field? But see, we have to get ourselves out of our Western mindset, out of our current system, and think back to how the children of Israel were with the king. See, it's a month that's seen in contrast when the king is in the palace. See, normally there's a protocol for approaching a king, right? You have to be invited in. Think about Queen Esther with King Ahasuerus. She couldn't just go barging in, and she was his queen. There was a protocol to get there. She had to be dressed in the right way. She had to have the anointing and the oils and all the preparation. And she had to wait at the door until he extended the scepter. This is a mindset of living within that monarchy. If you think about England and all that, you don't just go in to sing King Charles. There's a protocol. I actually have a friend who's a friend of his. But even there, he has to have an entrance. You don't just go, oh, I am stopping by today. There is a process to enter into the king's presence, into the royal presence of the king. But see, in this time when the king is in the field, everyone who desires is permitted to come out and meet. And he will receive you with a cheerful countenance and a showing a smiling face. Now, in many ways, we know because of the finished work of the cross, we can always go meet. But there is a special dispensation, and I don't even care for that word, but it's the only one I've got at the moment, where we can actually, there is, it's almost like he's closer. If we will be alert and aware that with the slightest turn, you can meet with him in a new way. How many want to meet with the Lord in a new way this month? Who want to come into a deeper place of intimacy, of going out and just gazing on his beauty, meeting with him and listening for what he has to say. Going out into the field and saying, God, you know, I've really messed up on some things, but I'm turning. By your grace, I'm turning. I'm here to receive your forgiveness. I'm here to receive your mercy. So it's a month of repentance. It's a month of mercy. It's a month of forgiveness. And if I can say, add this into this, it's not just our month to receive mercy and forgiveness, it's our month to release it. See, if we don't forgive, how will we be forgiven? And this is all very simple. But sometimes, folks, we need to be reminded of the simplicity of the life in the gospel of the kingdom. See, as this is a month where we're preparing for the high holy days, this is a month for you to lay hold of the mercy God has for you. See, I know that oftentimes when, because we've all done things in our life that we're not proud of, that shame tries to take us. And even when you've walked through forgiveness and mercy and all of this for years and years, there are times when those sounds of the past try to come up and over you. Where you feel like, well, I know I've made some progress, but that thing just keeps coming after me and is hounding me, and I feel like I've not moved anywhere at all. I feel like I'm disqualified, unable to move forward, that I just can't get away from the shame of my past. See, this is a month for you to lay hold of that mercy. What does it mean, lay hold of it? Lay hold of it and don't let go. When the devil comes and sits on your shoulder and say, yeah, but remember? You go, yeah, I do, but it's gone. And refuse to allow that thing to take you, because the enemy will always seek to intimidate you and keep you in a place of condemnation and shame, because if he can keep you bound in the condemnation and shame of your past, he will keep you from walking in the purposes of God. So this month, lay hold of the mercy. Lay hold of it. Put it on. Cast off those cloaks of shame. Get rid of the reproach. Cast it away. War over it. Tell the devil, he may be reminding you of what you did in the past, but you're reminding him of where he's going in the future. See, he has no voice except where we give him one. See, we entertain what he says way too much. We need to stop. Stop entertaining the accusations. Stop entertaining. Because see, if the blood of Jesus has covered you and Jesus has forgiven you, just knock it off. And don't let it get hold of you. Because if it gets a hook in you, that's when you start stumbling. So embrace, lay hold of the mercy. But Elul is also a time of the favor and blessing of God. I don't know about you, but I like that part. I want the favor and the blessing of God. So when the king is in the field, he says, I am pouring out favor on you. I'm just going to douse you with favor and blessings. So you can approach him and you let his countenance shine on you. What happens if the countenance of God shines on you? You light up. You begin then to reflect his countenance, because as the sun, he reflects on you, then you reflect him out to others. It's how he's ordained that his grace and glory is manifested to the world around us. See, sometimes the church has been known as being sour faces. Everything's so serious. We need to go have a party. Amen. Come on, we need to celebrate. We need to so look at the presence of God that the glory comes on us. I love it. It was sprinkling all over us today. So that when we go out, the glory is shining off your countenance, because you've been beholding the King of Glory, and you've been changed from what? Glory to glory as you behold him. Therefore, when you go out of here, you're walking in glory, and glory just splatters all over everybody you come in contact with. What happens if glory splatters on some people? Who knows, right? Signs, wonders, miracles, revelation, open hearts to receive the gospel. But see, if you go after people with the gospel with a sourpuss-looking face, are they going to want what you've got? A lot of people ran from the church because that's what they ran into. And they're now saying, wait a minute, I'm not going to be easily fooled by that, but I want a revelation of the real. Walk in the revelation. See, this month of Elul is a picture of Jesus coming to the earth to dwell among us. Remember? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the King in the field. See, the king came in the field, but do you want to know how the king comes in the field of the earth today? Through you. So this isn't just about us encountering the king in the field. It's about us becoming the king in the field for others to encounter the Lord. Little K, he is the king, but he is the king of... Therefore, when you've encountered the king, then you go out clothed in his presence, transformed by being with him. Then you walk out into a lost and dying world, into the midst of darkness, and you're reflecting glory. You're bringing the very nature of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're bringing the mercy and the forgiveness, the kindness, the loving kindness. You're bringing all of this to a people who are desperately in need of an encounter. See, this is a month within God's calendar where he extends a special grace for us to bring completion to some things. Anybody else have some completion that needs to be happening? Some things that we've been working on in the last season. There's a grace in the month of Elul to bring it to a finish. I remember Don Lynch. I've been thinking about him a lot lately because he deposited so much into us. But in some of the last meetings that I was in with him, in fact, we were in Arizona, I think, somewhere. And he had a prophetic word, and he stood up on that stage and went, finish this! Yeah. we're in a time to finish some things. It's a time, things that we've been contending for, things that we've been working on, things that we have pressed into God for. We've gotten measures of revelation, but it's time to press in and get that finishing anointing. Some of you have been working on some projects. Bradley, your book's coming to a finish this month, in the month of Elul. Some of you have got some things that you've been working on, and you've kind of dilly-dallied with it, and you've worked on it for a while, and then you go and you put it aside. God's saying, pick it up, finish it. Pick it up, finish it. Put a finishing anointing upon it. Get it done. There is a mega grace to finish some things this month. See, he's in the field. He's come out. He's ready to meet with us. And when God shows up on the scene, the finishing anointing comes with him. And I will even say this, there's a company, I just heard the Lord say this, there's a company of finishing angels to come alongside those who are saying yes. So tap into it. Get up every morning saying, I'm decreeing the finishing anointing is upon us. We've been working on some things around here since January. It's finishing this month. I want to shift. This is a month, according to Isaiah 55:6, to seek the Lord while he may be found. There is a special grace to seek him and find him. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How many of you know someone that has wandered away from the Lord? Now is the time. Call them in. Call them in. Call them in. Call in that grace that they will seek. I mean, I've heard from some people in recent days that I hadn't heard from in years. And I'm saying, God, let them encounter you right now. Had one that moved away somewhere else, and he said, I'd walked away from the Lord, but I've come back. Let him meet you in a new way this year. In this month, let him meet you in a new way. And then Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Show you great and marvelous things. What are some marvelous things that you need to see? Call out to the Lord. Press in. Seek him. That's not a passive seeking. That is a diligent, persistent, passionate. Seek the Lord. Call on him. He will answer. Elul is also a month of alignment. It's a month to find your place. It's a month to find your place in the company of the Lord and to experience blessings and victory. Anybody else need to experience some blessings and victory? I can tell you, aligning with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, aligning in the place where he tells you to be aligned so that your portion is properly connected. See, there's a difference between gathering and aligning. The way the Lord taught this to me was the boys were pretty young, and he goes, you remember, I don't know that we ever did this, but this is the picture he used of a bicycle that comes in a box, but it's not put together. And you've got all the parts, and the entire bicycle is there, but it doesn't do much good because it's not put together. Anybody ever had some toys like that? It may not have been a bicycle, but it came home and it's Christmas Eve and you're looking for Christmas morning and you're going, oh my goodness, can I get this put together, right? But see, when we are aligned, the bicycle is put together with every part so that it can be ridden and it all functions and it can go somewhere. See, a lot of times we gather together, but we don't align together. That is true of the body of Christ at large. When you don't allow your portion to be properly positioned so that every joint supplies what is needed, your part is missing. And so the entire body won't function at optimum. And see, that verse goes on, it says, every joint supplies causing what? Growth of the whole in love. See, we need every part connected so that what you carry, what God has in you, is released by your prayers, by your praise. When we're all in worship, just the explosion this morning, that was because the joints were supplying. The team was leading, but the joints were supplying. That could not have all come into place if everybody wasn't aligned and doing their portion. Because you'll just flow out of the grace of God that's in you. When you get properly aligned, the grace of God that's in you will just naturally flow. It just happens. You don't have to make it happen. It happens. Find your place in the company of the Lord and experience blessings and victory. It's a month where you need to watch for Satan's attempt to prevent you from connecting and aligning in your corporate place within the body of Christ through rejection and mistrust. When I started CityGate Atlanta, the Lord said to me, I've called you to the lost and scattered sheep of the house of the Lord. Because there are a lot of people who have experienced rejection, mistrust, wounding, perceived rejections, or real rejections. And they've just gotten scattered. Or they've come in and they've judged things, or they feel like they've been judged for whatever reason. I mean, the reasons are as many as there are people. But they've been disconnected and just kind of scattered out all across the landscape. What happens if you're just scattered out across the landscape? Your joint isn't supplying. And the more dangerous part of that, I mean, it's bad that your joint isn't supplying, but you're also isolated and easily picked off. Very, very easily picked off by the enemy. So, and the enemy is constantly wanting to keep us from connecting. And where you're called to connect, let me guarantee you this, it will be tested.
Yes.
Beverly gave me a good yes on that one. I will, in fact, I'll just use this. Beverly and I have had our alignment tested. I looked at her one day. I'm going to tell our extrovert introvert story. She kept saying to me, now, y'all know Beverly, right? Every time she would see me, she was telling me how she was an introvert. Nobody in this room believes that. And I go, you are not an introvert. Yes, I am. I'd rather be. I said, Beverly, there is nothing about you that's an introvert. There is nothing about the way you move, the way you pray, the way you sing. There is nothing about you. That's introvert. And I know it irritated the stew out of her. I could see it. She goes, yes, I am. I'm like, no, you're not. We finally came to a breakthrough when she told me about a prophetic word. And I'm not going to remember all of this right now. But I said, well, all that word was doing was not telling you who you needed to be. It was unlocking who you were all along that had been locked up by people telling you you had to be an introvert. She went, oh. I said, so just be you. I mean, you take up a lot of space. We love you. But it was a testing because she had come to believe about herself that she was an introvert. And I was being like a chisel. No, you're not. But what did that accomplish? It accomplished in freeing her to be totally liberated to bring her portion and not be in a false identity structure. But he got tested. And she could have run in all kinds of ways. I could go around this room. Anybody that's really connected and has stayed the course, it's been tested. I've been tested with them, and they've been tested with me. Because that's a part of what happens when you're coming into an alignment. Ask any married couple that's been married more than, a week? True? You get past the honeymoon, and then there, and maybe even on the honeymoon, and there is a testing of your alignment. Friendships get tested. But don't let the enemy in. His goodness is worth it. The goodness of God, because if he's called you to be someplace, called you to do something, don't let the enemy seduce you out and tell you the grass is greener somewhere else. Because that's one of the tactics he'll use. Sometimes the tests that we go through, God actually orchestrates them so that we deal with the stuff that's on the inside, so that we stay the course. You see, in alignment, as you follow his plan, you will experience inner knowledge of peace. When you're properly aligned with the Lord and with the body as he's told you to be, there's just a peace that comes on. You're settled. There's a confidence that happens because the life flow of the body brings a security. And it's a month where out of that alignment you move into spiritual service. And even in your own life, watch for ways for increased organization and management of your life. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, I need that. It's also a month of increased intimacy. I found this fascinating. The four letters of the name Elul are an acronym for the initial letters of the phrase in the Song of Solomon, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. What a wonderful Selah over the month. See, God wants you to share a time of special intimacy with him. See, when we come in here, corporately, we're not really aiming for the intimacy part. I'm letting that kind of settle in. It happens from time to time, but that is not the goal. See, we should come into the corporate gathering having such a place of intimacy built on the inside of us that when we come together and the corporate anointing of his manifest presence comes, there is always purpose in the presence. He doesn't just come to hover over us and make us feel good. He comes, he manifests his presence in order for us to do what he's called us to do. There's always purpose in his presence. So press in this month and develop a new level of intimacy with the Lord. Run to him. Get up in the morning and run to him. If you wake up in the middle of the night, Pat wrote me early this morning. She goes, I woke up at 3:30. I've been pressing into the Lord. I'm glad it was her, not me. I am not a 3:30 in the morning kind of girl. But if he wakes me up and says, come, that's what I'm doing. Run to him. Throw yourself into his arm. Be lost in his embrace and give yourself totally to him. And this came up a bit in our prophetic words earlier, but take a look at the things, the cares, the anxieties, the worries, the things that have drained your strength, and intentionally cast them over on the Lord. We have a tendency to hold on to those things, or we'll run to the altar and we'll give it, but when we get up from the altar, we pick it up and take it with us. And he's saying, we just leave it. Parents, we are really bad about doing that when they're little and when they're old. Take it, leave it, You can trust him. Finances we're really good about doing. Take it, leave it. Trust him to out of that place of intimacy to give you direction on what to do. And then make sure your emotions and your actions are submitted to the Lord. Allow him to shine his favor on you. I will say this to us in this month. Guard your emotions. Guard your emotions. When you feel unsettled, when you don't feel like, you know, anybody ever, like you feel that pressure and you just kind of feel unsettled, press in and say, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm unsettled. But don't let your unsettledness govern you. Because if you let your emotions govern you in this season, you could find yourself in trouble. God gave us our emotions. He gave us our mind, our will, and our emotions. But they must not be the leading, guiding force of our life. Holy Spirit has to be. When Holy Spirit is leading, he will then work with your emotions and use your emotions for his purposes. But if it gets topsy-turvy and the emotions are on top, or if your mind is on top, or if your will of you want it your way is on top, then you're going to be led by the flesh, not by the Spirit. So keep yourself built up in your most holy faith. Keep your spirit built up, praying in the Spirit, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, taking your emotions into obedience to Christ, and then allow him to lead you in strength that is born out of the intimacy. So run out into the field to meet with the Lord. Press into greater intimacy. Check your alignments. Make sure your thoughts are in alignment with his ways. Inspect your life. Holy Spirit, come. Inspect my life. I open my life up to you. Inspect me. Show me if there's any hurtful or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because as we do this, what he's doing with us is preparing us to be vessels through which he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we'd ever ask or think or imagine. He is shaking everything that can be shaken. But as we stand in him, we will not be shaken, and we will be the light that shines in the midst of darkness, and people will see the Lord, and we will see the greatest movement of the Holy Spirit in awakening and reformation that the world has ever known. That's what he's promised. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. Thank you for the brilliance of how you have ordered our days, our steps, our months, the years, and how you speak through things as simple as a month on a calendar. That when we have eyes to see and ears to comprehend, and press into you for that Issachar anointing to understand the times and seasons, we'll move into just seeing it and understanding it, but as the sons of Issachar, we will know what to do. So, Father, in this season of Elul, I pray over your people. I pray for all of us that we would rightly assess what's going on, how things are moving, how we are to move, what you are doing. God, that we would be so captivated with you that we would not be taken off course by what the enemy is doing, by the clamor of the sound of voices seeking to bring destruction. But Lord, our ears are turned to you to listen and to move at the impulse of your word. So Father, secure us in our alignment with you. Take us deeper in intimacy. Show us the places we need to repent. And God, as we embrace and lay hold of mercy, loose upon us mega grace to be and to do all that you have designed according to your good pleasure. And we ask these things and decree them over your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We will see y'all Tuesday night. God bless.